2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, but we'll read the whole chapter. This is the reading of God's Word. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body of dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, "I believed, therefore I spoke." We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would grant an ear to hear your loving voice through your word, telling us about Jesus Christ, your Son, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, that our whole focus will be bringing glory and honor to you. Let us live for you. Let us live for your glory. Oh Father, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we looked at chapter 3, verse 18 last time. And according to that verse, to be saved is to be like Jesus Christ. Salvation of God is about making his people just like Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us more details about that in chapter 4. The true salvation is to be like Jesus Christ is nothing less than a new creation. Verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The first creation begins with God saying, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was light shining. Just like it, the new creation begins with God shining in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. According to verse 4, that light is also called the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We must come to Jesus Christ to know the true God. We must come to Jesus Christ to know the true glory of God. The glory of Jesus Christ is the glory of God. John chapter 14, verse 9b, Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." In chapter 14 of John, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So to know Jesus Christ is to know the Father. The Word of God, the Bible, is about the things concerning Jesus Christ. The Bible is about the things which are written about Jesus Christ. The Bible testifies about Jesus Christ. And as you know, Jesus Christ is the Word. But for some, when they read the Bible, because the veil is over their hearts, they do not see Jesus Christ. Even the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ, they don't see Jesus Christ when they read the Bible. And Bible, Paul has been telling us why that is so. The veil has covered their hearts. Thus, even when they see, they don't see. Even when they hear, they don't hear. But understand, God has revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. So without knowing Christ, you will not know God. And that is the purpose of the Bible. Bible is all about Christ, so that you may know Him, so that you may know God. It's not so much of what we have to do, but it is all about what God has done and what He has accomplished. God has revealed Himself through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." Meaning, Jesus has made Him, God, known. Other translation. Jesus has made God known. But people, they read the Bible and they don't see Jesus. Some people, all they see is like moral examples, do this and don't do that. The knowledge of God is given through Jesus Christ. The light that makes one know must be shown in his or her heart. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ must be shown. Otherwise, they will not see Christ. But you understand that light that has to shine. The light itself is what? Jesus Himself is that light. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man, and that light is Jesus Christ. So in order for anybody to know God, the light, not just any light, but light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, or the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, that light must shine. But Jesus is that light. God must shine that light in our hearts. You know, he must, just like the first creation, let there be light, and light shines. The new creation is the same way. In other words, we must be recreated. The salvation of God is a new creation. And it is not by our efforts or our power. It is not about what you do, you become his son. It's what God has done for you. And it is what God is doing even now for you. And it's about what God will accomplish or consummate for you. That's what the Bible is all about. And this is what Paul is telling us. As he tells us, how are we saved? Well, God has to create us anew. God must recreate us in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because all men are fallen in sin. Now, what does that mean when someone is fallen in sin? Now, Bible describes that state of fallen sinner in so many different ways. But one way that Bible uses is that man is total darkness. Here in our chapter, it shows us the state of that fallen sinner. Verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The gospel is veiled to the sinners. It's not that we are more intelligent than the sinners who do not believe, so that we decided to believe, but they don't. Their state itself is total darkness. It's veiled. Gospel is veiled. No matter how much you say the gospel, it's veiled to them. Even though they hear, they don't hear. Even though they see, they don't see. And you need to understand that. The gospel is veiled to the sinners. And verse 4 says what? In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What is happening in that sinner who is fallen, who will not believe? It says, the God of, small g, God of this world. Who is this? Well, he is Satan. And in John chapter 12, verse 31, he is called the ruler of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. In Revelation, this Satan is called the one who deceives the whole world, the one who deceives the nations. He is the Satan. And what does Paul say? The Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Now, you know, this does not mean that those sinners can excuse themselves. Oh, it's a Satan who blinded my mind. No. Yes, Satan has done that, but they themselves like that. They like what Satan is doing to them. It's not like they fight against what Satan is doing for them. I don't want that, Satan. No, they love it. So yes, they have no excuse. But we are learning what is happening in them. Blinded their minds. What is the image? Blinded so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Thus, their minds are blinded, so whenever they read the Bible, they don't see Christ. It's not about Christ. It's about what we have to do to get blessing from God. No. Bible is not teaching that. You are already blessed because God saved you. There is nothing that you could do to make God love you more or bless you more than how much He is blessing you right now. Oh, you know, then sinner says, oh, then why am I working so hard to please God? If that is not what's going on. Well, because you love Him. I mean, we all know this. If your husband is doing all this for you because he loves you, you love that. But if your husband is doing all this for you because what he could get out of you is all about his own benefit, then why would you love that? What God wants from us is exactly what you would want from other people. It's about love. But we love Him because He has loved us first. And the Bible is showing us how He loved us. What He has done to show us how much He loved us. And that love, you see, in Christ, He is the love. Complete darkness. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Now here's another verse describing the state of that fallen sinner. He's blinded. His mind is blinded, but here again, being darkened in their understanding. And he is excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance. They just don't understand. How can they believe something they don't understand? They are not going to understand. That's why it's foolishness to them. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Another way of saying what we've been saying so far. Why do they do this? Go to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is what is happening. They are suppressing the truth. And they're suppressing, that suppressing, they do it perfectly. This is one thing they could do perfectly. So perfect that in one sense, they don't know God. But in another sense, they know God. It's not like God did not show himself. Even from creation, they could know God, but their hearts are darkened. So even though it's clearly seen, they will not acknowledge it. Because they're suppressing the truth. And they're suppressing the truth with perfectness. So they could act like they don't know him. And these are the sinners. That's why in Romans chapter 3 verse 10 it says what? There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. This is the state of fallen sinner. See, so many people, they just don't get it. You know, I hear Christians telling me, oh, I've been searching for God for many years. Huh? God says, no one seeks for God. And here's a person telling me that he's been seeking for God for many years. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The God that he was seeking when he was non-Christian is not the God of the Bible. Nobody seeks the true God in a fallen state. No one. I don't care what he thinks. He can't. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So much for Armenian understanding of salvation. No one does good. It does not subject to God's law, for it is not even able to do so. So how are you going to do good works to be saved? God is very, very clear. You're not even going to subject to what God says. And it's not like you're not doing it, but you can do it. By nature, you cannot. So if this is how a sinner is, then how can that person be saved? The good news, the gospel says, God creates him anew. That's how. Just like the first creation, let there be light. That's exactly what God does. He shines the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's why Paul in our passage tells us that Salvation is a new creation. And he reminds us of the first creation. How did the whole world create it? Well, you get the idea from that creation because salvation is a new creation. It's not about what we do. Because all you do, all you could do, is sin. Well, the next question is then, how then the new creation is accomplished? Okay, we got that settled. It has to be God's creation. Salvation is a new creation. Then next question is, how does God then do this? Well, the first creation, we get the hint from that. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now here, the earth was formless and void and dark, darkness. And here's the Holy Spirit hovering over the surface of the earth, which was covered with water. So, you see the Holy Spirit. And what do you hear? Let there be light. You hear the word of God. God speaks. And this is how the whole universe was created. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. You know, non-Christian might say, he just spoke, huh? But he didn't do anything. He just spoke. Man, it has to be much more than that. Just speaking. Yes. That's all he did. When it comes to creation of man, which we will look at next time. Oh, next week is the Lord's Supper, so week after that. He, using the dust of the earth to form a man. Other than that, everything else was, he just spoke. And that is very, very important concept as we conclude this a little bit later. So here, Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. The breath of his mouth is pointing to Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So then, what do you see in creation, the first creation? We have the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God. This is how the whole universe was created. The new creation is the same. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again. Well, you have been saved, or you have been recreated, all same thing. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. You have been born again through the Word of God. I mean, how more plain you want it? It is through the Word of God you have been born again. James chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Word of truth. And being born again is by the word, but how about you, after you being born again, you sanctifying? How about you becoming more like Christ? How is that done? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, as soon as you're born again, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Drink milk. But in biblical sense, it is the word. You grow by drinking your mother's milk, just like it. You grow by drinking the milk. The word. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them, meaning make them more holy. Cause them to grow more and more like Christ. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification is by the word. In Matthew chapter 13, the parable of sower, you know, sower went out and planted the seed. There in chapter 13, verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, it is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Isn't that interesting how it is described? He's producing 100-fold of his fruits. But how does he do it? He hears the word and he understands it. And he produces. And we're not saying we should neglect our efforts. No, we do our best. But always remembering your best is never going to work unless it's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to make you grow. And we're not talking about just secular maturing. You know, some people misunderstand that. You know, non-Christians in the world, they mature as they grow. We're not talking about that. And some people actually misunderstand. It's just natural, you know, maturing, and they think they're sanctifying. No, non-Christians, they could do that. And if non-Christian is able to do that, that's not Christianity. We're talking about the word and understanding it and believing. Nothing else will work. But see, people don't like that. Because all that effort they put in, you know, they want to be acknowledged. And it's the word, but Bible tells us that it is also the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just word of God just coming and, you know, just you hear it and you hear and you hear. No, Holy Spirit has to use that word to give you understanding and faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 3, let me read that to you. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one is able to truly say and mean it, Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, anybody can say, oh, Jesus is the Lord. No, we mean, like, really meaning, you know, you believe it. And that is only by the Holy Spirit. But he just doesn't just, like, mysteriously work it. No, he uses God's word. So, you know, even in the first creation, you see the Holy Spirit hovering over. It's not like he was just going, ooh, and just doing whatever mysterious thing he's doing. No, he's there. But you hear God's word, let there be light, and he works, creates the light. Do you understand what he's talking about? And new creation the same way. It's word of God, but it is the Holy Spirit working with that word. He recreates you anew, you know, as a new creation. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. It's the Holy Spirit leading you. You are the sons of God. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And John chapter 3 verse 6. I didn't realize we did the reception of the new member, so we're kind of short on time. Let's speed up here. John chapter 3 verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. And he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You must be born again, but it is the work of the Spirit. But it's not just work of the Spirit, but work of the Spirit with the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. That's why John begins, in the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was God. Do you remember the Old Testament passage that spoke of the new covenant? Jeremiah 31 says of the new covenant, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write them. The Word of God. I will write my Word in their hearts. And Ezekiel 36 speaks of the new covenant. He says, I will put my Spirit within you. So there again, it's the Holy Spirit I will give, and I will give the Word. I will write down my Word in your hearts. So there you have it. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now, you know, I'm not trying to limit the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to limit what Holy Spirit could do or he cannot do. There's nothing that he cannot do. Holy Spirit could do whatever he wants. But he told us what he will do. He even said, I will not do anything on my own initiative. But I will speak only the things I hear. And the things I hear is the Word of God. I'm just telling you what Bible says, how Holy Spirit will work. And when we say that, no, we're not saying, oh, Holy Spirit is bound by the Word of God. Well, in redemptive work, he voluntarily put himself in that situation. He's bound by the word. That's how he wanted to work. Now, we're not saying, oh, then what? Holy Spirit is, you know, limited. No, he could do whatever he wants, but that is not what he wanted to do. So if word is not there, it's not going to work. The creation began only when God spoke, "Let there be light." If he waited, let's say 10 minutes until he said that, the Holy Spirit had to wait 10 minutes until that word is spoken. It does not mean that Holy Spirit as God, he cannot just create without whatever, you know, Father saying it. He could do that. That's not what we're saying. But this is how they voluntarily set limits on them. And this is how he, you know, God works. And Bible, through the Bible, he told us how he does things. So you have to go where word is taught and word is spoken. And the word is about Christ. It's not just you hear whatever and you think you're hearing the word. It's about Christ. And it's not just word Jesus Christ. No, the whole passage is about Christ. Specifically about Christ. So verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, the Apostle Paul has this ministry, and how does he do his ministry? Verse 2, and we will look at it in more detail next time. Verse 2, it says, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, he has this ministry. Ministry of creating God's people as a new creation. And what does he do? How does he do this? Manifesting the truth. And your word is the truth. How does Paul do? Well, he preaches the word. Another word is that he preaches Jesus Christ. That's how he does this ministry. And that is the ministry of the church. Telling the truth. Preaching the word of God, thus preaching Jesus Christ. For the unbelievers, the God of this world blinds their minds, but for believers, the Holy Spirit shines the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Do you see the difference? Word is being preached. In one person, the Satan has blinded his heart, his mind. The other person, God is shining the light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the difference. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Just like it, by faith we believe that the new creation is by the word of God and word of God only. No, it has to be much more than that. It can't just be like God just speaking. But that's what Bible teaches. Churches, the primary job is to preach Christ. Preach the word. Not adulterating the word, but the word itself. And in the context, we'll see this more, but adulterating the word in the context of 2 Corinthians is what? adding. See, that adulterating, the word is, you're mixing water in the wine. You know, you're selling wine, but you mix water so that it dilutes it, so that you will make more profit. And these people were diluting the word with the work principle. That you need to do this, you do that, so God will bless you, God will save you. Thus, it's not the gospel at all. That's why so many people think that because I did this, or because I did that, God is blessing me. That is Satan's lie. God blesses you only because of Christ. Not because you're worthy or you did something to earn it. No, you can't. It's because of Christ. And your work is not to earn something from God, because God already gave it to you in Christ. Your work is your appreciation of God's love. You love Him. That's why you do all these things. It has nothing to do with what you could get out of God. Believe it, brothers and sisters. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit with the Word. One more thing and we'll finish this. Just like it, by faith we believe that the new creation is by the word of God. But verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. And I just thank God for that phrase, we do not lose heart. Well, telling of Jesus Christ, we speak the word of God. We must do this diligently and never lose heart. And why does God say that in the first place? Why does He tell us to not lose heart? Why? Because it is hard. This work is hard. Because this work, you have all the tendencies to lose heart. Because you speak the truth. And you speak it until you cannot speak it anymore, but people just don't receive it. They will deny it. They don't want to hear it. So you lose your heart, and God said, don't do that. Understand what is happening. And when you understand it, you don't lose your heart. It's not our failure, when we speak the truth, we're doing exactly what we're told to do. But some people, they will never accept it. And more you read the Bible, it seems like as that time nears, Jesus' return nears, less and less people will receive it. Do not lose heart. You know, I don't know why. This room is bigger than over there, but somehow it looks like more people are here today. You know, maybe appearance is deceiving. And even as your church shrinks, or, God will bring more people, it will, up to Him. But do not lose heart. We continue to do this until God clearly tells us, stop. Then we stop. It's equally important. Continually doing this is important, but it's also important when God clearly says stop, we stop. We don't try our whatever, sin center devices we come up with to, just have that success. No. Jeremiah, he was preaching, the Messiah who is coming. Guess what? Nobody. You read, go home and read Jeremiah. Nobody accepted what he was saying. Nobody believed. Nobody. Not even one. And just guess how discouraged he is, you know. Day by day he's preaching and nobody cares. And we don't say he failed. No. You and I, we are called to preach the truth. And whether people accept or not, that's not our thing. Our job is to continue, without losing heart, continue to preach the truth. It's okay, guys. God is working. And you know, when God works, lots of suffering comes in the way. Read the Bible. Oh yeah, God was clearly working in Jesus Christ and his life. And then what kind of worldly success did he have? You know, what do we expect as Christians? What do we expect? We expect nothing more, nothing less than life of Christ. That's what we expect. And suffering and death. Oh no, I don't think we're going to be so blessed that we will suffer like Christ. No, no one is able to do that. It will be much, 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 much less, but nevertheless, suffering and death. Again, who would want to hear this? But do not lose heart. We know that if the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ in the face of Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is shown by the Holy Spirit, then they will believe. Our job is to diligently preach the Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we love you. We thank you that you have shown that light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you made us new creation. And as such, we now understand, we now believe, we see Jesus Christ. And what he has accomplished for us. And Father, Jesus Christ and his kingdom is truly, truly enough. Enough for us. We're content. We're satisfied in Christ and him alone. Bless us, God. And continue to receive glory from this church. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand then.